Show, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch on this show, and that's probably what's gotten us all, that's just gotten us all this trouble all these years. In any event.
Well, what trouble are you talking about?
Well, we're just weird. Let's just face it. We're just flat weird. We're too weird. By the way, the latest inside radio scoop. I got to share this with you. I've got all these inside radio scoops for you, and I just want you to know, imagine an industry where, one of the leaders of that industry is not aware of a new technology or how to monetize it. Let me give you an example. What if the heads of Chrysler, GM, or Ford, let's say the head of Ford, and I don't know who that is, and I'm not trying to disrespect him, but let's say the head of one of the major, say Ford, was not aware of the fact that they now have something called a sports car. Really? Yeah. Well, I don't know how we're going to sell one of those. What do you mean you don't know how we're going to sell? Well, look, at everybody wants passenger cars. How many people ride in cars? Well, no. How many people ride? Well, yeah, exactly. We're going to be selling station wagons and SUVs. What do you mean sports car? Don't you realize we have a speed limit of 55 miles an hour? You can't go that fast anyway. Why would I want to be involved? I can't figure out how to monetize the idea of sports cars. It sounds like a bad idea. And then when that quote shows up in print, it becomes almost laughable. That's how stupid it is. And then the guy in about 6 weeks is quoted again as saying, we're working overtime to see how we can monetize this idea of sports cars. Now, wouldn't you be sitting out there laughing? Or in the very least, wouldn't you be thinking, wow, I mean, who have they got running the shop? Are they nuts? Because you guys are aware of sports cars. You've been driving sports cars. You've been buying, let's say, sports cars from these smaller companies. And you like it. All right. Well, the exact same thing, only replace sports car with digital and internet. The exact same quote happened last month, and it was uttered by a comparable individual, the equal of anybody that would head Ford, by a captain of the radio industry, by a man that runs one of the biggest companies in my business. I'm not going to say who, and I won't say the company, but imagine the big players, and it narrows it down pretty good. So in other words, I'm not talking about a guy that runs a small broadcast concern. I'm not talking about some old guy that just isn't up on the new technology. I'm talking about a guy who is right there in the wheelhouse. He ought to know. And he said the following thing. He said, I don't know about digital and streaming. We don't know. There's no money there. There's no money there. There's no money there. That's what he said. He said this in February, folks. He didn't say this 5 years ago. He didn't say it 10 years ago. He didn't say it last year. He just said it about 6 weeks ago. And just like our fictitious head or example of the head of Ford, just like that fictitious character, he too was laughed at. There were people, in fact, today the quote was his infamous comment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. This is a man who runs an enormously big company. He's got a lot of radio stations that he controls, and he is considered to be, well, I don't know what people think of him other than the people that hired him. I guess they think he's pretty good. And so after it came out that he sounded like about 300 yards of real dumb, he then immediately, and one can imagine, when somebody said to him, you know, pal, I don't know, what are you talking about? Are you kidding? Everybody's using this. Guys that are making money, there's subscriptions. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? There's people that are selling banner space, people selling ad space. Right now, Adam Carolla's doing a podcast. He's making, you know, this much money and that much money. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, boy. So then he goes scrambling. And the latest quote was, I guess last week or sometime very recently, he said, we're burning the midnight oil. This was his quote. We're burning the midnight oil to figure out this whole internet digital thing and where the money is. How do we make money? This is a guy. This is a guy that is. He's one of the biggies. He's not, I'm telling you. You know, I'm not going to say his name because even though he probably wouldn't know me if he fell over me. But the fact is, I don't want to take any chances, you know.
Well, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, well, even if I said the guy's name, and he's never heard of me probably, and he would, who said that? This guy named Phil Henry, he's a big mouth. Ah, he's at the big mouth. But the fact is, am I wrong?
Well, maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it wasn't when.
Back when he said it, said that there's no money in it.
He said this back on February 7th. He said it to if I tell you who he said it to, no, I ain't going to. He said it back on February 7th.
That's kind of a long time ago.
No, it's not. It's 6 freaking weeks. What are you talking about? No. You can't hide from that. And as I said, the guy that was writing the column today that was reading, I don't read radio news as a rule, but it was just, it made me want to cry. Have you ever wanted to cry and laugh both at the same time?
Well, that's called hysteria.
Yeah, you're hysterical.
Well, yeah, okay, then I was hysterical. I was like somebody in one of those movies that needs to be slapped across the face because I'm just...
Well, I just, you know, Phil, if you found yourself in the throes of a hysterical episode, that in and of itself says a lot about you. And it would take the focus away from this individual that you're talking about. And,
Uh-huh.
Never mind.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're going to say.
Yes, I did, but you looking at me...
All right. Never mind, I think, was the best thing you could have said. Maybe I was hysterical. The fact of the matter is, I felt like crying and laughing. If that's hysteria, then that was me. That's what it brought me to. That's what the business has brought me to, a level of hysteria. When this guy said that, well, we just don't know if there's any money. I mean, the guy, in other words, he could not have been more of a stereotype of just a clueless suit. I mean, it was just too perfect. I want to tell you something. A guy like that, I got news for you. Because I've seen him come and I've seen him go. A guy like that, this is you, I'm telling you right now, because I saw guys that would say that kind of stupid stuff. And you'd ask yourself, well, how the hell do they ever get a gig, you know, like the gig they have? Well, you see them after about a year, 2 years, finally they're just moved out very quietly. The board says, that's great, Charlie. We'll see you later. You know, well, I mean, I've got some great ideas. Oh, I'm sure you do. And I think this guy's headed for the same door. I swear to God.
Well, he is one of the players right now. A lot of people think he's an up-and-comer.
A lot of people think he's an up-and-comer at what? What does he do? I mean, in other words, if you don't know... You're a broadcaster, you run a large broadcast company, and you don't know anything about internet, digital, how they're making money, where the money is, how you can monetize. You don't know anything about that side of what is increasingly a very, very a big business. Audio entertainment, audio comedy, audio content, period. That's what radio is supposed to be about. And there's more and more and more and more people podcasting, and there are more and more advertisers are getting involved. And you have people like... a lot of different companies that are looking into it and trying to figure out the demographics and how you know, what the metrics are and how you rate this stuff. All right, all of that, it's just a bunch of business here that I'm talking, folks. But the fact is, it's been going on for a while, and here comes this guy out of where I don't know, and he's standing around scratching his rear end and going, boy, it sure is a nice day today. Really got, you got a nice job, don't you? Oh, yeah. Well, let me just tell you the lay of the land here, pal. There's this. Nah, I can't monetize that. First, you know, one of the first things this guy said... Got a whole lot of laughs. I don't want to tell you what he said, because then I'd really give it away. But let's just put it this way. He hired a guy to be the replacement. He hired a guy that he thought was going to be the next Rush Limbaugh. And,
Didn't work out like that.
No, it didn't. So he had to backpedal on that one. I haven't heard this guy say one thing, not one thing, that has had any relationship to reality. So I just thought it was very funny. I thought I'd share that with you because that's sort of the state of state of the industry right now, state of the radio industry.
And you also shared that so you could make sure you could put another nail in your coffin.
Well, you know what? You know what my philosophy is?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Henry. Put another nail in the coffin.
Wait a minute. You know what my philosophy is on that? It's the following thing. If I'm going to be penalized for expressing this kind of thing, which I think is important, and it's part of the business, it's the news that people don't get. I mean, if that they're going to stick a nail in my coffin.
Yeah, all they're going to do, man, is put a blackball. How do they say that? Blackball it?
Yeah, you'll have blackball.
What do you mean I'll have blackball?
They mean they'll blackball you.
I understand that. What are you talking about?
No.
Yes, you don't say you'll have a black ball.
That's what I thought, they'd have a black ball.
No, it's not you'll have a black ball, I'll be blackballed.
What? That sounds Negro.
Yeah.
What do you mean it sounds Negro?
Get out of here. I'm just kidding around.
Sounds Negro. I'll be blackballed, not I am a black. Anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, the whole world and more can be open to you. In fact, just before the show started, we were in our pre-show mode as I was cursing and swearing up and down some technical problems that we were having. Nothing very serious, but I just needed to get it off my chest. I think I threw a few things. It's fantastic. It's just enjoyable. All right, we'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show with other industry news. Dr. Oz is being sued. Sued, baby! By allegedly causing burns from an insomnia cure. Now, this is supposed to cure you of insomnia. How do you get cured of insomnia when you're...
I don't know.
And here's something the Russians will be happy about. There's a large asteroid heading for Earth, and...
They're going to be running for the hills.
They'll be running for it in Siberia. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The Munsters, man. This is the man from Uncle, and
turn it off, will you please, for God's sake?
What's with everybody here?
Oh, man, it sounds kind of cheesy. It sounds like the Munsters. Why, Dave, that's the man from Uncle, huh?
That's the man from Uncle theme. Why?
It sounded, I agree with Bud, it sounded like the Munster, or whatever the show was.
Yeah, the Munster.
The Munsters.
What was it?
The Munsters.
They're the Munsters.
Okay, do I got to get into this argument with you all the time? Munsters, plural.
Phil, excuse me for a moment, but you're aware of the fact that some things are singular.
I'm aware of the fact that some things are singular. Only the Munsters, what does that mean, the Munster? It's the Munsters.
The Munster cheese, which I know it's not about cheese, okay? I know it's not about cheese, so don't start getting all crazy.
Yeah.
But,
okay, I'm not getting crazy, but I'm worried about you. It sounded like you were getting lockjaw there for a minute.
What are you talking about?
Well, Phil, the way you sound right there was not...
Wait, hold on for a minute. What's everybody ganging up on me for?
Oh, poor Phil.
Yeah, poor Phil. I'll tell you why we're ganging up on you. Because the stuff you're saying is going to get you booted out of the radio business.
Hey, man, you know, I'm going to get booted out of the radio business. Good. Yay. That sounds fantastic. I'm on my way out anyway. You kidding?
So, in other words, what you did was you lit a gasoline fire, and you're going to jump into it.
What?
Yeah, you're like that guy in Let Me In when he poured the acid on his head.
Yeah.
The guy from Let Me In? You mean that movie, that vampire movie we were watching the other night?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Are you crazy?
That's what the guy did.
That guy was a maniac. That guy, oh, God, that movie was just freaky, man. That was that movie. Have you guys seen this movie, Let Me In, the little vampire girl?
I think I know the one you're talking about. Is it the one with the... Is it the one...
No.
Hold on, Phil. Is it the one with... There's a vampire. I know that. Is it...
Margaret.
Would you hold on, please? Is it... Well, I don't know. Well, you're rushing me.
I understand. No, the movie Let Me In is a movie about a little vampire girl... And she is living in this apartment complex. It's a cool movie. I mean, it was very atmospheric. It had elements there were disturbing moments in it, which any great horror movie will disturb you. It won't just scare you, and it won't gross you out. If you only have scare and gross, you don't have a really good horror movie. You have to have something in there that disquiets people as they leave the theater there. Oh, God. You're not even worried about it happening in real life. It's just creepy. And this girl, little girl, lives in this apartment complex in New Mexico, and the little boy that lives there sees her and becomes enamored of her, as one might imagine in the plot. And she's strange because he only sees her at night, and, you know, you get the picture. And she also he also can hear, because they live next door, he can hear through her apartment wall noises and sounds. And there's a man that she lives there with, and this man is supposedly her uncle or her father. Well, long story short, well, I better not give it away.
What? You're going to tell about it, aren't you?
Well, why didn't you tell us?
No, I'm not going to. I don't want to give it away.
Well, you gotta, come on.
No, I'm not giving it away.
So you do the bill. God.
Oh, you almost said the GD.
Yes, I did. That is very unfair.
I'm not giving it away. The audience, people get pissed at me when I do that. I've done it one too many times, and people get upset. Let me just say this, that at one point, a guy takes a whole vat of acid because he needs to disguise himself. He doesn't want the cops to see who he is. So he purposefully takes this vat of acid and dumps it on his face. It's like, what are you doing, you know? And what has that got to do with me?
Yeah, that's what the part you was telling me about.
Well, I ain't going to do anything like that. You'd have to be half-baked, half out of your mind to do something like that. But anyway, it's a creepy, whack flick, man. Check it out. I recommend it. I recommend, and just because there's a little girl in it and a little boy, and you'd think, well, there's a teen romance thing, man, I don't, it's not, I don't think it's.
You don't think it's for children?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's for under 18. No, no, I don't. There's some violent scenes in it and lots of blood and pretty freaky. I mean, it's not the best horror movie I've ever seen, but it's right up there. I'll tell you that right now. And as a matter of fact, if you look online at, you know, there's a lot of different, I don't know, lists and so forth of what are the great horror movies. And that one appears in a lot of the lists. You'll see Let Me In. I saw it when I was in Toronto. I guess it's been about 2 years or something. It's been out. And I was bored one night, and I was sitting up in the hotel room there in Toronto. I'd been visiting my cousins, and I didn't really want to go downstairs to the Indian restaurant. I was tired, and so I was sitting up there, and I was eating what was left of the Snickers bars and the cookies. This was back when I weighed 800 pounds, so I didn't care. And as I sat there gnawing on another Snickers and looking at the, you know, the all-night menu and eyeballing, oh, look at this, Gouda cheese, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, you must have done. Was there anything you wouldn't eat, man?
No, there wasn't anything I wouldn't eat. There was probably nothing I wouldn't eat other than lima beans, the usual lima beans, and,
Yeah, yeah, what about snails?
What are you talking about, bud?
When is he going to have snails?
You know, if you're in France.
No, I'd eat snails. When I was in France, I ate snails. But anyway, what the hell was I? Every time you butt in, man. So yeah, so I'm sitting there and I'm gnawing on all this food, and I saw this movie, so I watched it, and it was all the food that I had eaten, I vomited. I'm kidding. No, I didn't.
I don't want to see any film that's going to make me vomit. Is this a film?
It's not going to make you vomit. It's a scary movie, though. I'm telling you right now, it's a scary movie. It's called Let Me In. So the reason why I brought all of this up is for some, I don't know why, but. That theme that we were playing for you there is The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and Tom Cruise is going to be in the new version of, or at least they've offered the part to him, or the rumor is. And I hope it's just a rumor, because wasn't he just in the Mission Impossible?
Yeah, I was going to say, in a Mission Impossible, anybody going to go, Tom Cruise will be in Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Makes sense.
Yeah, why wouldn't they have him?
Because it's overkill, man.
Well, I would have to agree with Phil. You don't want Tom Cruise to become such a caricature of himself as he is already. You've got Scientology. You have Mission Impossible. You have Man from U.N.C.L.E. You have Xenu. You know, in other words, you know what I'm saying, Phil? You have all of that. It just makes him into some kind of space-age clown that I can't wrap my mind around it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's space age clown is probably a little strong, but it definitely, I don't think, what do you mean Scientology?
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. He's already being, I think Tom Cruise is already being judged for his Scientology. Now you put him in Man from U.N.C.L.E., and now you put him in Mission Impossible, and now people just see him as Xenu's bitch. And excuse me for saying that.
Well.
Yeah, by the way, he is.
You ought to call him Xenu's bitch. Then the goon squad will be on you.
Hold on, man. Don't start talking about Scientology goon squads, okay? I don't need that hassle right now, okay? Z News, bitch.
That's what Tom Cruise has become.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Pardon me, folks from Scientology. I'm sorry, Phil.
Truth is my bitch. Maybe not yours, but mine.
Truth and Xenu. No. Truth and Tom Cruise is Xenu's bitch.
Yes. Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Henry Show. San Gabriel Bull is where Doug Danger is right now. He is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. We're very happy to have Doug on the line because, Doug, I wanted to get on the line. Did we hold on for just a second?
Yeah, we got a split. You there, Phil?
Hold on, Doug. Bud, we need paper in the printer.
Yeah, get right on it here.
What are you doing?
I'm just one more. Okay, got it.
What are they doing?
Tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe.
On a BlackBerry.
I don't care if it's on a BlackBerry. Who are you playing?
Him.
Well, you guys get with it, okay?
So I don't know.
Yes, you did know. Don't give me this bull crap.
They're playing tic-tac-toe while you were talking in the last few minutes of the segment.
Yeah, but we're still doing good.
What do you mean doing good? You're paying attention to me? I don't know whether you're doing good or not. Okay, Doug, hold on, will you?
Yeah, no problem. Hey, get a grilled cheese sandwich.
So what we want here is for you to put paper in there.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Would you turn Doug down, please?
Thanks.
And welcome back to the program, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
I want a grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay, I can hear him still.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Doug. Hold on for just a minute, okay?
All right, no problem. I want a button, a bottle of grilled cheese.
Excuse me for a minute. You did turn it down? Thank you. God.
What about turn it down don't you get?
Trying to put paper in and everything, and I thought you wanted a grilled cheese sandwich.
I don't want a grilled cheese sandwich. That was him.
Who?
Doug Danger.
You were the guy on Doug Danger. Who?
Doug Danger.
Doug Danger. I'm not familiar.
Hey, bud, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not familiar. What is with you, man? Time for a physical, man. Time for a CAT scan. Time for something, a full diagnostic. All right. We're going to have Doug Danger on here in a moment to talk about the very interesting world of Tom Cruise and the fact that he may be playing the lead in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and all kinds of stuff like that. All right. Dr. Oz has been sued. Dr. Oz, the celebrity surgeon, daytime host, is being sued by a New Jersey man who claims that an insomnia cure promoted on the Dr. Oz show resulted in third-degree burns on his feet, according to the New York Daily News. Frank Dietry, age 76, claims in a lawsuit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court that Dr. Oz's knapsack, his knapsack-heated rice footsie... What are you doing, man?
I don't want a grilled cheese, huh?
Please don't do that, bud, all right?
What is this knapsack?
Yeah, this is the Dr. Oz insomnia cure. A knapsack-heated rice footsie led to burns on his feet and confined him to bed for weeks. Now, that is a cure for insomnia. You put some heat on your feet.
Good thing it wasn't on his thing.
Yeah, that's real funny, man.
Sorry.
The product was featured in an April 17th segment called Dr. Oz's 24-Hour Energy Boost. During the segment, Oz encouraged viewers to fill the toes of a pair of socks with uncooked rice, warm up the footwear with a microwave, and put them on for about 20 minutes. Dr. Oz warned viewers not to get the socks too hot in the microwave. Well, if you're going to be making rice pilaf, yeah, you know.
Boy, I'm kidding, man. Probably making rice-a-roni.
Would you not do that?
Sorry.
Yeah, bud, that laugh. Yeah, I can see that. Have you ever had those warmed up... a lot of you guys may not live in the Northeast. Some of you may. I spent time in the upper Midwest for a couple of years. And it's cold. I mean, it's cold up there. And when I say the upper Midwest, I'm actually talking about Minnesota, because that's what they call it. You know, It's the, yeah, the upper Midwest. And anyway, I was there for a couple of years, and cold, oh, baby, it's cold. And I found these microwavable earmuffs.
What do you do with them?
Well, now, what do you think if they're called microwavable?
This ought to be good.
What?
What do you do with them if they're microwavable?
You're going to put them in a microwave.
Exactly.
But what? That's not what I asked.
Yeah, you did. You said, what do you do with them?
After you put them in a microwave, what do you do with them?
You put them on your ears, man. You put them on your ears.
Oh.
Wow.
You know, bud, man from Uncle, you ain't.
Yeah, well, if you be more pacific, in the words of Belvin Perry.
Bud, I don't got to be pacific. If I've got
earphones?
If I have earmuffs that are microwavable, there's only two things I'm going to do with those. Put them in a microwave and then stick them on my head.
And then what?
And then what? What?
What are you going to do then?
Go outside.
You don't have to.
What do you mean I don't have to? Why would I be wearing microwavable earmuffs if I wasn't going to go outside?
I don't know what the answer to that is, but you don't have to.
Yeah, he is right. You don't have to.
You could stay inside.
What am I staying inside for with microwavable earmuffs on?
I don't know. It might be something you just are comfortable wearing around the house.
Maybe the heating doesn't work.
That's true.
Okay. All right, fine. If the heating doesn't work, it's cold in the house, so I'm wearing microwavable earmuffs on in the house. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know. It's up to you. You're a free human being to do what it is that you wish.
If I did what I wanted to do and I had microwavable earmuffs, I'd wear them outside because I'm not the kind of jackass that in the middle of a freezing winter, the heat's going to go out in my house. If it does, I'm going to have it fixed right away. And in the meantime, I'll be in a hotel or somewhere else where there's warmth.
Yeah, what if they're all sold out?
That's another good question.
Bud, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to clock you and you're going to die and then they'll be all sold out of coffins. What do you think of that?
Why?
In any event, just shut up.
He's asking some good questions.
Not asking any good questions. I don't know why they'd be out of coffins. Maybe I went ahead and plastered everybody in your family, too.
It's hostile.
But I'm getting hostile because you're asking me stupid questions about wearing microwavable earmuffs indoors. You put them in a microwave, you heat them up, and you put them on.
You know, a moment ago, Phil, you were going to tell us all about microwavable earmuffs, so now you're in a big hurry to get through the subject. And to get back to this thing about Dr. What's the man's name?
Dr. Ooze.
Dr. Ooze. And
it's Dr. Oz, not Dr. Ooze.
I thought I saw another O.
Well, there ain't no other O. It's one O, okay?
You don't have to get hostile because we don't know what this man's name is.
Dr. Oz. The guy's a major player in media these days. Now, may I get back to this?
Yeah, right. But,
No, not but anything. I explained the whole thing to you. I would put on microwavable earmuffs. If it was cold outside, I would wear them outside, not inside. And you put them in a microwave. And to tell you something else, they feel great. I mean, I'm telling you, there's nothing like warmth on your ears. I'll tell you that right now. Why are you guys looking at me like that?
Well, I'm I don't know, but it...
We're a little worried, you know.
Worried about what?
Why would warmth on your ears... Why would you bring that up?
Yeah, you're always telling us.
Why would I bring up what?
If you're talking about having warmth on your ears, there's only one way you ever did feel it, and that's with someone
somebody locked their thighs.
All right.
Phil, we're trying to clean it up.
No, you guys didn't clean it up. You dirtied it up. I'm talking about warmth on my ears, and Robert there immediately makes the connection to thighs pressing against my head. Is that what you were saying?
I didn't say that, sir.
He didn't totally say it.
No, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Then you guys dirtied it up. I didn't. I was talking about earmuffs. He was talking about thighs.
And we don't, well...
And we don't what?
We don't know... If truth is... We don't know the gender.
All right, I'm gonna...
I'm just kidding!
The gender... Dr. Oz. Okay, so he said stick your feet in these socks, put in some microwavable rice, and stick them in there, and the guy burned the hell out of his feet. Now, we do know, ladies and gentlemen, there is precedent for the very hot cup of coffee. They order a cup of coffee, and it burns you, and McDonald's had to pay. And I personally, I'm one of those guys that sees I understand why they had to pay. I'm glad that lady got paid. A lot of people hate that lawsuit. It stands as the the paragon of frivolous lawsuits. And yet, I understand. I understand if you're going to give a hot liquid to a member of the public, it should be a safe temperature. Otherwise, it could burn someone. It could burn an individual who's underage. It could burn a baby who has no, you know, the baby didn't order the coffee. Some adult did. But be that as it may, now we have a guy who is told to stick his feet into some socks full of rice that you've microwaved. Now, that's an adult. And by the way, Dr. Oz didn't microwave these.
Yeah, it's the same thing at a McDonald's.
No, it's not the same thing as at McDonald's, because microwaving the rice...
Will you slow down, for God's sake?
And I got to get to Doug Danger, too. Microwaving the rice was not something Dr. Oz did. Don't please ask me a stupid question, Robert, like, how do you know? I happen to know.
Well, all I'm saying is if he did microwave it.
If Dr. Oz microwaved the rice and then handed you the socks and said, stick your feet in there, I think you might have a case, you know?
Right, he's not doing that.
No, he's not doing that. He's recommending people go home, put the rice in their socks, microwave it, and stick their own feet in the rice that they microwaved. It wouldn't make much sense for him to be on TV and saying, here's a great way to cure insomnia. You microwave rice, and you put your feet into the socks where the rice is, and don't worry about it, I'll microwave the rice.
Well, you're laughing, Phil, but you see the possibility of that.
No, I don't. Not at all. I'm on TV. I'm Dr. Oz. Let me just microwave the rice. Come on down to New York and put your feet in here. It don't work like that. All right.
Have you been on television? I know you have, but have you been on the Dr. What's-His-Name show?
No.
Then I don't think you know how it works.
I think I do know how it works, and I can tell you this much. I think the Dr. Oz is going to be fine because he didn't tell this. He didn't microwave the rice. Now, this guy, Dietl, suffers from neuropathy. It's a numbness in the feet caused by diabetes. So he subsequently did not realize how hot the socks were until he got up in the middle of the night and tried to walk. The suit did not specify how long he left the socks in a microwave. There were no proper instructions or proper warnings. Ah, this guy's full of... He's got no case.
I don't know, man. There's no warning.
This guy microwaved some socks knowing full well that he doesn't have feeling in his feet, puts them on, burns the hell out of his feet. All right, we're going to come back here with Doug Danger. He is live from the San Gabriel Bowl, and we'll talk with him about entertainment news, including Tom Cruise, possibly the star of a new film focused on the old TV show The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. With us is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, but right now he's at San Gabriel Bowl. I had no idea that we'd be talking to you there, Doug. I hope we're not interrupting too much, because Bud told me that you guys have a league bowl tonight.
Yeah, what we have here, Phil, is the Orange County Courier. What we're taking on here is the San Gabriel Tribune. It's an inter-newspaper league. It is a league game, and we're a little bit out of our league. Here we're not in Orange County right now. We're up here at San Gabriel Bowl taking on this San Gabriel Tribune. But I don't care. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything because I love the Bowl, and I'm good. And I say that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but there isn't anybody in this bowling alley tonight. Well, I shouldn't say anybody in the bowling alley. There's nobody on our team and nobody on the San Gabriel Valley Tribune team that doesn't know I'm gay. And I'll tell you why I tell them that. I bowl a hell of a game. I just bowled a 3. Let me just ask. Is that a 372? A 370. I just bowled a not a 370. 270. I bowled a 270. And I want people to know who I am. I'm Doug Danger. Now, you know that song by Chris Cornell for the James Bond movie, You'll Know My Name?
Yeah, from Casino Royale.
Casino Royale, right. You know my name. I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. I just bowled a 270 and helped my team beat your team so we can move into the upper bracket of the round robin that we're in right now, and I think the next team we're playing, too. That's been the Star News. So on our way to our second consecutive league championship, I'm gay. Now, I know that sounds silly to you.
No, it doesn't sound silly. I understand that you are proud of who you are, and you're not certainly...
No, I want to say something, Phil. You can't be proud of something you were born as. In other words, you can't be proud of having blue eyes. You can't be proud of having brown hair. You can't be proud of having white skin, and you can't be proud of having black skin. And you cannot be proud of being gay. But what you can do is say, that's what I am, and I use that. If I've got to overcome it, I overcome it. If I have to use it as a, to remind people of how good I am or whatever, that's what I do. So I have to let you know, and I have to let everybody know I'm gay. All right, so
Doug Danger is with us.
I'm going to have, if you don't mind, Phil, I'm having some,
what's that?
Yeah, I've got a clam chowder, not a grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay.
Because we're between games right now.
All right. Doug, I wanted to talk with you then, because you are between games. We have an opportunity to talk. Tom Cruise.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, thanks. Well, you know what? Go ahead.
Tom Cruise, it is rumored, will star in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Thanks. See you next week. I know I kicked your ass. I'm sorry, Phil. Some of the guys are leaving from the other game. Thanks a lot. They're giving me some congratulations. Hold on for just a second.
I got to tell you, Bud.
That my fault?
Yes, it is. You got to tell these people before we talk to them.
Oh, yeah. I don't. You can try, man. You can run, but you can't hide. Bud? No, don't get that. You can run, but you can't hide. All right, go ahead, Phil.
All right, are you done?
Well, you know, Phil, you got to understand something. All right? I took the San Gabriel Valley Tribune's chances of winning this round robin. I've taken those chances, and I have flushed them right down a toilet. And that's a very, very big thing that I have done. Now, I know I have teammates, and I know I get support. But I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. And I just almost single-handedly beat the San Gabriel Valley Tribune's bowling team and have effectively relegated them to a garbage can when it comes to bowling. Now, that may not mean a lot to you.
I understand. It means a lot to you.
Well, it means a lot to my team, too. And I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Let me ask you a question, Doug. Do you think gays that bowl, do you think that that's unusual?
No, I do not. Why would you say that?
Because you're saying I'm a gay man and a gay, and I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist, but you're saying that you're gay and you bowl.
I bowl, yeah, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. The reason why I'm saying that, and I'm kind of shocked that you're asking me, the reason why I'm saying that is because I want people to know that I have come up a very hard... That's my bag. It says Doug Danger on the side. It says Doug Danger. Hold on for a minute, Phil. That says Doug Danger on the side, doesn't it?
Yeah, but
what does that say on the side of the bag? This guy's trying to make off with my bag. You got it, my friend. It says Doug Danger on the side, and the shoes say Doug Danger on the side, don't they? What's that? You want to give me a hard time about it, man? I'll show you, man. I'll tell you what. I'll get a strike using your head.
Okay, Doug.
Hold on. It's all right. Don't get nervous. I'll use your head for a strike. Yeah, I'm gay. Get out of here. A lot of these people, you know, they don't like the fact that a gay just beat them.
Well, can I say something, man? If you're going to run around there going, gay man, gay journalist, this, that, and saying gay just beat you, because that's what you said, you want to make sure that everyone knows that.
No, I want people to know that my team won, but they were powered by a gay.
Gay powered.
What?
Gay powered.
You know, Phil, you want to be a smart ass, that's fine.
I'm not being a smart ass. You just said it was your team's powered by a gay.
Yes, it was powered by a gay player is what I mean. But I didn't say gay powered. This isn't some cereal. It's not some sports drink. It's not some vitamin.
Doug.
Hold on. It's not some new laundry detergent. It is powered by a gay man and a gay journalist, me. Now, I bowled a 272. Some of these chumps around here haven't seen a game bowl like that ever in their lives. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay? Are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening to everything that you're saying. I'm here. I just was curious It sounded like you were going to get into a fight with that guy.
Well, no, I wasn't going to get in a fight with him. He wanted to fight me. It wasn't going to be a fight, though. He wanted to fight me. I wasn't going to fight him. I was just going to pick up his head and collapse it. That's all. That's all I was going to do. I was going to pick his head up and collapse it between my hands. So that's not a fight. That's just me picking his head up.
I know, and collapsing it between your hands. That sounds extremely violent, and it sounds extremely graphically violent.
Yeah. If that guy, look, if he doesn't like being beaten by a gay, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. If he doesn't like a gay taking him to town bowling, then maybe what he ought to do is just take his jacks, take his Buster Browns and his patent leather shoes and his skirt, go home, have his brother put his hair in, you know, curlers, and then he can prance on down to wherever they prance, man. I don't know. Hey, you. Those are my shoes.
All right. Doug, it sounds like you're loaded for bear tonight.
You better believe it. You better believe I'm loaded. Anybody gives me even half a line of crap.
All right, we'll be right back. Doug Danger, and we haven't even gotten into the man from Uncle, if you'll pardon the expression. Doug Danger there at the San Gabriel Bowl. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What? No, I said... Do I look like I drink Coors? Do I look like I... Do I look like I drink Coors? No, I asked for a Budweiser. Well, then clean the wax out of your ears. Let's go.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here on this Tuesday night, going into Wednesday morning. Tuesday night here on the West Coast, Wednesday morning on the East Coast. We are here till 1 a.m. every night and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and with us is Doug Danger. He's at present at San Gabriel Bowl in Southern California. They're having a league game between the Orange County Courier staff, and I think they've already played... The San Gabriel Tribune?
Yes, they've already played, and they have one more league game against the Star News, the Pasadena Star News, I think.
All right, and we're going to get Doug in here in a moment. He's apparently had a very good night. He bowled a 272 and helped his team on to victory. I didn't know that Doug was such an enthusiastic bowler. Did you?
Well, you know, there's indications. I mean, he's gay, gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah. What's that got to do with anything? Because he likes to bowl balls? What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean,
doesn't it stand to reason?
No, it doesn't stand to reason. No, it doesn't.
Well, I just think he's competitive. I think Doug has always been very competitive. And he likes to show up people, and he likes to use that as a way of reinforcing his journalism and his gay ability.
All right. Reminder, we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show right now. Watch and listen to live, recorded on-demand video if you want. If you miss it, you can see it on demand. We're available on all kinds of devices. We are available on your Apple iPhone, on your Apple iPad. We're available on a variety of droids. We're available on your desktop. You know, sold American. There it is, man. And by the way, soon we are going to be available in the highest quality HD. I'd have to ask Alex, but there's the best quality HD, high definition that you can get on your computer. You are going to see us like that. Reminder also that we're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. Bud Dickman is there at twitter.com/thebuddickman, TheBudDickman. Margaret?
Yes, Margaret Gray, twitter.com/MargaretGray. Hold on for a minute. M-A-R, are you spelling this?
I'm not writing it down.
Well, why aren't you?
Because I know how to spell it.
Oh, M-A-R-G-A, I don't know. Look it up. It's Margaret Gray. G-R-E-Y, by the way, not A-Y, as I've seen some people do. What, Robert?
I don't have a Twitter handle. You cannot find me on Twitter. I don't care. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, that's because you don't have it. You don't know about social media and all the things, what it does.
I don't give a damn.
All right, well, that's fine, Robert. Also, Dan Northcraft, our engineer, is available for you for all of your needs, psychological. Dan doesn't do any technical advice. unless you really want some, but he can counsel you. I'm kidding. Check out Dan Northcraft. He's there at twitter.com/DDANO. Double DANO. What was that music?
Oh, man, my bad about the gay journey.
Journey's not gay.
Gay to me.
All right, Doug Danger joining us here.
I like Journey, but I also agree with Robert. I think it can be. And when you say gay, by the way, I'm not offended by that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm not offended if someone says I'm gay, because I understand that what they mean by that has nothing to do with sexual orientation. It has more to do with whether something is likable or not. Now, having said that, if I ever see anybody say that's gay and then they glance in my direction, now we got ourselves a situation.
Why? Because you think that they're saying that as a...
I think it is a homophobic slam, and we'll have a situation. Now, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody, and I'm certainly not a violent man, Phil. I'm not. But I use the term, I'll collapse your head, as a way of saying I may have to go to the fist. Now, I'm not a fighter. I understand that you can get sued. I understand there's civil action. I understand there's criminal action. I'm not a violent man, and I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be sued. However, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, and you ask any gay men out there, sometimes you got to go to the fist, and don't make any jokes about that either. I don't want to hear anybody talking about vats of lard.
All right, Doug, I understand. What you're talking about is fighting.
Yes, and I'm not even talking about fighting. I'm simply saying collapsing a guy's head between two hands. Did you ever see the movie Blade Runner?
I know the scene you're talking about.
That's great. When the robot put the thumb in the guy?
Yeah, when that robot put thumbs in that guy's eyes and just collapsed his head in, just went from, wow, that robot could have been me. And that's why I feel in many ways Blade Runner is a commentary on the gay community of the future. A superior race of individuals that will live for no more than 6 months and then rot out and die because we're too powerful. I don't think that's exactly how it's going to be, but I think it's a good metaphor for the gay community.
That was a pretty wild thing to say.
Well, it's just something that I've proposed. I've said it to Chet Wordley. I've said it to a few friends of mine.
You've said to them that you think Blade Runner is a commentary on the gay community of the future.
Yeah, when we're talking about the Blade Runner is a is the cop, but the droid, the android, or the, I don't know what the hell they call it, a skin job. I don't like that term. I'd consider that homophobic.
Yeah, but they're not really talking about a gay.
No, but I'm saying in the future, if we were referred to as skin jobs.
Well, look, the man that wrote that book, Philip K. Dick, who wrote a book, the book was called Electric, Do Sheep Dream of Electric, what is it? Do Humans Dream, Do Androids Dream?
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What's his name?
Philip K. Dick.
Well, I think that there's probably that wouldn't be a problem, would it?
No, Doug, that's his real name. You're not going to have a problem with that. If it was not his real name, and you could make a case that there was some sort of snide attack...
Yeah, that's his real name.
All right, well, if Philip K. Dick's his real name, I guess I'll let it slide, but again...
Yeah, it's not only is it his real name, I think Philip K. Dick has long since departed the earth. I don't know, but he wrote the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Something like that.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what is that?
Take it easy, bud. I'm talking to Doug, okay? You're butting in too much.
Well, yeah, he just wants to know, what did you say about Philip K. Dick did what?
I didn't say anything. I said that the name of the book that Philip K. Dick wrote that Blade Runner is based on is a book called, I think, and, you know, help me out with this, Robert.
No, go online. I'll try and find out online.
Yeah, go online and see what it says.
I'm going to do that.
All right, look up.
Hold on. Don't do it so loud. The book is called, I believe, Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep? Something like that.
What? Who are you trying to kid with that? It sounds to me like there's something...
I'm not kidding anybody.
Well, the guy's name is Philip K. Dick, and you think it's the gay community of the future.
No, you do.
Well, I understand that, but then I said the gay community of the future, and you brought up this... So what have you got on this guy?
All right, I tell you what we're going to do is we will be breaking here in about a minute. I'm going to look and find out the name of that book and continue our discussion here with Doug Danger as we are going to be talking about eventually. Are we going to talk about Tom Cruise?
Yeah, that's why I'm on the program.
Okay, because I know, are you done bowling?
No, we got one more game.
Can you not bowl while we're talking?
Well, I'm going to be here, Phil. I promise you I'll give you my undivided. I apologize, Phil. I really do apologize. I didn't know that I'd be carrying our team tonight. I usually do, but I thought maybe they'd give me a break one night while I'm on the air with you. But I will be available to you as I'm also trying to help my team. I don't know what else.
All right, hold on. Doug Danger at the San Gabriel Bowl. He is a journalist, entertainment reporter. We're going to talk about Tom Cruise, the new Man from U.N.C.L.E. film. Is he set to star in it? I personally think that they would do better if they got an actor that is not as well known as Tom Cruise, like the way they did the James Bond series, you know.
Well, Daniel Craig is absolutely stunningly wonderful, and I see what you're saying. Maybe going that route, but Daniel Craig is...
They can't use Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
I'm not saying use Daniel Craig. Use somebody else.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Don't use Daniel Craig because then you're making the same mistake. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Daniel Craig, man. He was Tom Cruise, too. But they use Daniel Craig in a... Welcome back, folks. We're with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier at San Gabriel Bowl. They got one more game to bowl in this.
What it is, Phil, is a round robin elimination. We got an elimination. We already eliminated the San Gabriel Valley Tribune. We got a round robin going up against the Pasadena Star News. Go ahead. And we are right now. And Jack Del Queen, who is one of the big PBA stars about 3-4 years ago, I just saw Jack. How you doing, Jack? He flipped me off. You know, that's the way those PBA players, they had these guys for the longest time over there in the PBA, and they were trying to do some crazy things and trying to get people to watch the bowling. And so they'd flip the camera off and they'd pull their pants down, stupid stuff like that. But I don't know whether that actually worked or not.
Pulled their pants down?
Oh, you didn't? Oh, yeah. The Professional Bowlers Association tried rock and roll kind of moves.
Yeah, they were going to try to be all punk and everything.
What do you mean they pulled their pants down?
Well, one of the guys, Jack Del Queen and Roman Toomey, I think, who was the son of Randall Toomey. He was the son that survived. You know about Randall Toomey, right?
Yeah, I know. He's up in Atascadero.
That's right. But the one that survived was the eldest son that was not on that trip with him. Roman has since joined the professional bowling circuit, and he was very famous for dropping his pants and just going ahead and, you know, showing the world what he thought of the world, what he thought of his opponent, what he thought of bowling, what he thought of the PBA, what he thought of, you know, and then he'd go out there and he never won anything, but he rattled a few people. And like right now, did you hear that laughter in the background?
Yeah.
That's Roman down there pulling his pants down again. That's what he did. That was his specialty. That was what made him well-known in the tour. And just now he walked by me and flipped me off.
Flipping you off and pulling his pants down, and this does what?
Well, it gets people talking about the tour.
Yes, but it's very juvenile, don't you think?
Ms. Gray, forgive me, this is what you sounded like.
Yes, it
sounds real sissy, you know.
Well, you're talking about being a gay.
I'm not a sissy. I may be gay. Hold on. Yeah, nice one, Billy. You picked that up? No, I didn't think you did. Well, you're the annoying man. You're never going to pick a split up like that. Why do you even try? Don't pretend like you know how to bowl, man. I'll come over and show you. So what I was saying, this guy, Roman Toomey, Randall Toomey's son, I maybe might have been traumatized. I don't know what happened to him when he found out what happened to his family.
For people that don't know, Randall Toomey is in... he's been committed to a hospital for the criminally insane because he murdered his entire family on a yachting excursion somewhere in the South Pacific. I think it was around Tahiti.
Yeah, well, that's where they found the boat.
They found the boat near Tahiti. And it's very gruesome, but Randall Toomey, once he was arrested by the authorities and extradited back to the United States, he hasn't spoken a word. He has remained silent for the last 7 years following this horrific crime. And he, as we say, is in this hospital. Now, he is known by Herb Sewell knows him, Walter Bellhaven.
Yeah, Walter Bellhaven, and my understanding is Toomey plays in all the volleyball tournaments. They have they have a badminton tournament that Toomey has won, him and Bellhaven.
What do you mean, him and Bellhaven?
I guess they got a doubles team.
What are you talking about?
Badminton. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes, I know what badminton is. You're telling me they got badminton teams up at this...
Yeah, at Atascadero.
Yeah, in fact, they beat it in the paper.
Well, it was in the back page of the L.A. Times sports section.
What was?
Oh, my God.
The badminton tournament.
Phil, why is that so unusual?
You don't think it's unusual for the L.A. Times sports section to be covering a badminton tournament taking place at a psychiatric hospital? You don't think that's weird? I do.
Well, Phil, okay, I mean, you know, that's what makes a horse race, but that's exactly what happened. And my understanding is that Bellhaven and Toomey romped in that tournament. Now, this is the guy that plays plays badminton. He plays badminton like a bad motor scooter, and he hasn't said a word in 8 years.
Sounds to me like the only guy that could play with him would be a guy like Bellhaven, who my understanding is a complete psychopath.
Well, that doesn't mean he can't play badminton. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, we're with your Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. So his son's there, huh?
Yeah, Roman Toomey is down there. Hey, Roman. Roman Toomey's here, and he plays for the Star News team. And I hope that Roman can handle the fact that I'm about to destroy whatever he thinks he is as a bowler. I'm going to destroy that. So imagine this. Imagine that you've lost your entire family because your father killed them all, and now tonight you're going to have your bowling game taken and urinated on, figuratively speaking. What do you think is going to be left of his mind?
All right, let's talk here with Doug Danger while we have a few minutes.
Well, you haven't answered my question.
I don't want to answer a question like that, if you don't mind. I want to talk now about Tom Cruise. We've been talking around this, and let's get to it. Tom Cruise in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Well, there is a possibility, Phil. Cruise isn't as invulnerable at the box office as he used to be. All you got to think of is Rock of Ages. But Warner Brothers is Warner Brothers is going to entrust the Mission Impossible star to carry another 1960s spy TV series turned movie in the form of a Man from U.N.C.L.E. Now, Cruise is reported to have begun early talks for Man from U.N.C.L.E., presumably eyeing the role of American spy Napoleon Solo. And my understanding is that is the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
What's the Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
O-N-C-L-E, right?
No, U-N-C-L-E.
That's not what I've got.
Well,
Doug, it's the Man from U.N.C.L.E. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at copy that says here, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. O-N-C-E-L. And it has something to do with an Austrian?
No, man, not an Austrian. This is...
Whoa, man. Don't start laying that on no man, okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? That's number one. Number two, I'm going up against Roman Toomey, who lost his entire family in a sociopathic, psychopathic, sadistic rage on the part of his father, who, well, you know what happened. His father hasn't spoken in years, and yet his dad steps all over him in badminton. I mean, these are the things that this guy's got to deal with, and I got to beat him in bowling? And if I do, there's a very real possibility he could open up on everybody in this place? And you want me to start getting all upset because I can't, if I called it the Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Hello?
I'm here. I mean, I was, what you just said there, I guess, you know, you got a point.
All right, let me talk to Doug, this is Margaret.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Are you going to finesse me? I mean, I'm just making a point here with Phil.
No, I know you are, dear. I just want to know something. It's the Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's the name of the TV show. You say that you have something called the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Well, it could be. I could have been just blurred in the facts. Because I got a fax here. It said the Man from U.N.C.L.E., some about Austria, and, or Arkansas. Maybe that's what it says.
Well, it's the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I don't know what U.N.C.L.E. is.
Well, if you don't mind, so I don't butcher it, do you mind if I call it the Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Sure. What's the name of the guy that's going to star in it?
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, man. You know who he is.
Tom Cruise, man. You know who he is.
Now, something, Phil. When your testicles drop, give me a call.
Well, Phil, you...
No, not well, Phil. I didn't do anything.
But you pissed him off.
Oh, I pissed him off. That guy's got a screw loose. Just like everybody that hangs up on this show has a screw loose. That's for sure. That is for sure, my brother.
Well, what I mean, all I'm saying, you should have given him, you know.
Give him his day in court.
Give him his day in court. I had to give him his day in the shock therapy room. That's what he needs. He's talking about Randall Toomey and all these guys. He got to be up there with them. The man from Uncle, Tom Crew. How dumb is this guy? He's an entertainment writer.
Doug is a reporter, first, last, and always. And as a good reporter, you've got to get it right. You can't make assumptions. You can't be subjective and read into it like so many of the modern-day reporters do. That's why I respect him.
That's fine. You can, you know, but if I'm talking about the man from Uncle, what other actor is going to be considered for that than Tom Cruise? And besides, he already called him Tom Cruise.
But that's a good point, Mr. Dillon. I did hear him say that.
Well, I don't know. I didn't. If you're saying he did call him Tom Cruise, then you have a point, but I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't hear it either.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You know, you're just lying.
No, I don't know if he said Cruise. I think he said Tom Cruise.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Oh, maybe you, but you're lying, just so you can start something. You know he said Cruise. The man from Uncle. I mean, anyway, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is going to be a reunion for screenwriter Scott Burns and director Steven Soderbergh with Channing Tatum, blah, 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 blah. Now, dig this. Wait a second. It says here that Guy Ritchie may be also directing this. Well, what's with the Steven Soderbergh? Anyway, Guy Ritchie, who is the former husband of Madonna and made that really good movie Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and then everything else kind of blue. Yeah, that guy. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Right. I just hung up on him. Hey, Roman. Roman, you wearing underwear? Are you wearing underwear? You ain't wearing underwear, man. That's with the man from Uncle. What? No way. Phil, give me a grilled cheese sandwich. I want a, not a Coors.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley will be joining us. It's been quite a run for Bobby and Steve Dooley over the last couple of months with the new Bobby Dooley podcast. Mm-hmm. The Bobby Dooley podcast out to a big debut. Lots of downloads, lots of people checking it out. Bobby is this week featuring part two of an interview with Jay Moore. And I believe next week she's got Kevin Pollak. And coming up will be Craig Bierko, as well as John Ratzenberger.
Now, what about some women? She started out with Patricia Arquette.
She did start out with Patricia Arquette, and I don't know females as in what?
Females as in females.
Yeah, what do you mean females as in what?
Well, actors, comedians.
I don't care.
I will ask her. I mean, we're going to have her on here in just a second. We'll ask her, but nonetheless, she had a killer. Joel McHale was featured, and if Joel McHale wasn't weird enough, then comes Jay Moore. So that is on iTunes. It's also, folks, on SoundCloud and a variety of spots where you get your podcast. Check out the Bobby Dooley podcast, and available to you right now. Now, we're going to go over to Bobby as well as her husband, Steve Dooley, and discuss a news story here that I also want to ask her about the forthcoming podcast and things like that, but I want to discuss this nude beach that got closed down here. It's in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, I know that Steve's friends, not friends, your husband Steve's family is in Wisconsin, Bobby?
Yes, Phil. Steve's family, his mother and father, obviously, his brother. And Steve has...
got two of them, two sisters, too.
He has two sisters. What happened, Phil, and the reason why I got involved... because of the success of the Bobby Dooley podcast, I have been able to, I've got a little bit of cachet in terms of what I'm able to get done.
Oh, really?
Yes, who is that?
It's Margaret.
Well, try and hold your jealousy in check.
No, no, no. It's not jealousy, darling. It's not jealousy. I just think you need to... I think you need to be a little bit more... I think you need to mute it a bit.
Well, you know something, Margaret? If you don't mute it, and far from muting it, your attitude sometimes bellows like an elephant... and I think you know what I mean.
All right, that was uncalled for right there.
No, no.
Yes, it was.
All right, hold on for a minute. Hold on. You guys used to get on. What's going on?
I don't want to see her getting too ahead of herself with this podcast. She's starting to talk like she thinks. And I know that you actually do not believe. This is beautiful, Phil.
No, I don't.
She really does not believe. Well, I'm too much of a lady.
Oh, you're too... let me tell you something. This has got nothing to do with being a lady or any. You want to say it, Steve?
Yeah, my wife, it doesn't smell when she goes.
All right.
That's perfect. That is the Dooleys right there. Right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is how crude they are, how vulgar they are.
No, wait. It doesn't smell.
No, sir, it doesn't.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yes, we heard you already, and I think that you need a psychiatrist.
Excuse me, but I'd be very, very happy to have you come over to my home after breakfast.
No, I wouldn't go to your home if I was paid to go to your home. I wouldn't go there.
Well, all right, but the fact is it doesn't, and I've had neighbors comment on it.
Yeah, we had, I know you don't want to hear, but Janice Newman and Janice Bitterly.
What's her name?
Janice Bitterly.
Janice Bitterly?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They all said they came over after breakfast, and we'd had scrambled eggs.
We'd had scrambled eggs.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? You're vulgar, you're vile, and I don't believe you. I think you need a psychiatrist, and now I think your neighbors do.
All right, I'm really upset here a little bit.
And that's all I have to say.
Well, I'm glad that's all you have to say.
Hold on. I'm very upset because the two of you are now beginning to argue, and we didn't have to have this problem before, and I don't want to have to start thinking about separating you two when I bring Bobby in to be on the air.
No, you don't have to. Phil, all I'm saying is she's getting way ahead of herself. Now she thinks that when she defecates, it doesn't smell.
God, man, bringing that up.
Can we not go there, please?
Well, Mr. Henry, I didn't use any such terminology. My husband, Steve, simply said, what did you say, Steve?
No, when my wife drops one, or drops into the toilet.
When I drop it.
When you drop it. I think that this radio show, which has never been known for its taste, has now entered a new hell of tastelessness. A new level of...
All right. We don't need to have these arguments. I don't want to hear any more about any bathroom habits. I don't care what it entails.
So in other words, what if this can be BS?
I'm just saying it all right. What if it's a miracle according to Catholic Church?
That's what we wanted to ask.
What if it's a miracle according to the Catholic Church?
Yes, sir.
That's blasphemy.
No, it is not blasphemy. No, it is not.
Yes, it most certainly is. Who are you? First of all, a miracle has to be, it has to be verified by the Catholic. Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not.
Then why would you think?
Now, Mr. Henry, what if the fact is it could be a miracle?
Who is Ms. Dooley, who is your wife helping? Who is she helping?
What do you mean?
If you are telling me, and you want my audience to believe, that when you...
Evacuate.
When you evacuate, it doesn't smell, so that's a miracle.
Yeah, it's got to be a miracle.
According to the Catholic, or the Catholics, yeah.
No. Who is it, who are you benefiting? Is there somebody who's being cured of a disease?
Well, I didn't know that had to.
More likely it's giving someone a disease.
I just got done telling you it doesn't smell, you cow.
All right, well, that's the end of that.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you very, very much.
Well, I just believe certain things.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Are you just waking up right now, man? Were you taking a nap or something?
Hung up on him, man.
Oh.
I hung up on her. All right, so we're going to have, apparently, I'm going to have to do this story myself.
Sorry, Phil, I'm back on the air now.
Well, I didn't let you back on the air, so hang up on her, please, bud.
I'm sorry.
Why are you letting her back on the air?
I didn't. I thought you did.
No, I did not let her back on the air.
Phil, I've decided to come back on the air.
Ms. Dooley, Bud, turn her off, will you please?
It's on some kind of an override.
Oh, will you stop with this override stuff, okay? This breaking off a hold stuff. Hang up on her now.
Phil, I have decided to come back on the program.
Hang up on her now.
Dog, some kind of override.
Well, I'll do it, by God. I'll take this bike. There.
Nope, that doesn't work.
Unplug the back of the board. I said to unplug the phone bank.
Mr. Hendry, you don't understand what's happening here, do you?
There, that did it.
Yeah.
No, I can't hear anything.
I'm the one that did it.
No, you didn't do anything.
Did I hit that with a fire axe or didn't I?
You hit it with your high heel.
Same thing.
Okay, Wisconsin authorities announced on Tuesday they'll shut down one of the nation's most popular nude beaches on weekdays after struggling for years to curtail sex and drugs on the sandbar and surrounding woods. Nudists from around the country have been traveling to the public beach on the Wisconsin River near Mazamani, about 25 miles northwest of Madison, for decades as word spread that prosecutors in ultra-liberal Dane County wouldn't go after anyone for showing skin. But visitors haven't stopped at just stripping down. They've been slipping off into the woods for trysts and droogs. Authorities say that's crossing the line, but they haven't been able to stop the shenanigans. Their frustration reaching a tipping point on Tuesday when the State Department of Natural Resources announced it will close the beach, the islands immediately off of it, and the surrounding woods to the public on weekdays when wardens say troublemakers tend to operate unseen. So I guess that means that you can get nude on the weekends or something.
Now, the people were going and getting nude where?
They were getting nude in the woods. They were slipping off and, you know.
They're slipping off and doing drugs, too.
And doing drugs. The closures begin immediately. The area will remain open on weekends, though, so the nudity can continue through the weekend. Bob Morton, executive director of the Austin, Texas-based Naturist Action Committee, which lobbies on behalf of nudists, has visited the beach several times. He criticized the DNR for not consulting with beachgoers before closing the area. Honestly, we're on their side when it comes to enforcing things that are lewd and lascivious, Morton said. There's something to be said about consulting the users of the place. There's got to be more to this somewhere.
Well, what does he suspect?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks that there is it's more of a morals thing, you know, and less of a law-breaking thing and more of a just, we don't like all these nude people.
You ever been on a nude beach?
Yeah.
You have, Mr. Hunter? Were you nude?
No.
You went to a nude beach, but you didn't nude up.
What do you mean, nude up?
You've never heard nude up.
Yeah, I've heard it. It sounds rather high school.
That is the term that the nudes use.
The nudes of the nudists?
Nudes? You're using an awful lot of what they call WOG terminology. Now, I know WOG is a term used by Scientologists, but it was also originally drawn from the lingo or the language of the nude.
Yeah, the nudes used WOG a lot.
How do you know, man? Anything coming out of your mouth, I don't believe. What are you telling me?
Well, do you want me to repeat it, Phil? I don't stutter.
You're saying that WOG... I know you don't stutter, okay? Don't talk like you just got off of a construction site, all right, Margaret?
Excuse me?
You can use, you know, you don't have to... I don't stutter. You're telling me that the word WOG is used by nudists.
By nudes, not nudists.
Well, what are nudes?
That is the... Bud, you know, you've done some reading on this, haven't you?
Yeah, the nudist is what we know of today. But the nudes was what started it. And there are a few of them left.
Yeah, there's a few very rare nudes, you know.
Well, what is that? I don't understand that.
It's just a different group of, if you will, nudists, but they call themselves the nudes. And they call us WOGs.
What do nudists call us?
What do nudists? What do you mean?
If the nudes call us WOGs, what are the nudists?
Just people in clothes. Just people that wear clothes.
People that wear clothes, but the nudes call us WOGs.
Yes, and Scientology had heard that term, and L. Ron Hoover, or is his name Hubbard? L. Ron Hubbard, he borrowed that word from the nudes.
And that's why they call us WOGs in
Scientology, and if you're a nude.
What is the distinction? I don't understand, and I really want to understand this. What's the distinction? What are you pointing at, Margaret?
The time. You have to take a break.
I'll keep an eye on the clock, thank you very much.
Oh, well, yes, sir.
Thank you. We'll take a break, folks. We'll be right back and try to figure out what the difference is now between the nudists and the nudes, who refer to us as wogs.
How dare you laugh?
I'm sorry. It's funny. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Bob, while you're there, you're saying the nudes are being where? They're being what?
Well, as we can see, Phil, and from our vantage point, the nudes are being corralled and driven over an area that is rife with what looks to be chaparral, and there's quite a bit of rough, rocky areas here, and also a dry river bottom. There's at least 200 nudes that are being driven along this river bottom right now.
What do you mean there's 200 nudes being driven on a river bottom?
Well, that's what I'm saying about Bob. You've got 200 to 250 nudes now. Some of them got loose, and I can see there's at least two or three of these very colorful up in this area, Phil, Camilleros.
Are you telling me that these are naked people being driven along a river bottom with my cowboys?
All right, well, let me double-check that. They could be steer, but my understanding was the nudes have been, I apologize, Phil, but
I'm going to kill your music. Now how do you feel?
Oh, you can't do that to Bob Bakian.
Well, I just did. When he doesn't have his music, he sounds like an imbecile. And in other words, he's more in keeping with the radio show. Now.
That's the guy's got to have the music.
I don't give a damn if he's got to have his music. I don't care if he's got to have his music. He better start reporting on his stuff like a normal human being. Bob, you there? See? Now, when I start up his music, watch what happens.
It's Bob Bakian here, Phil, and no, they were not nudes. They're actually steer. I'm sorry. As I was looking, from this vantage point, they look like people, but they are steer. And
what is this, a nighttime cattle drive?
Yeah, they're using, actually, they turned the lights on here. So they have turned the lights on here at the steer drive area. They just put night lighting in here. I don't know. That sounds kind of strange, too. I don't really know what's going on down there, okay?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to light the area where they drive the steers. Are you sure you're not watching what? It could be anything.
Well, it could, or the, you know what? It could be a fireworks display. Let me double check and get back to Bob.
Wow, Bob's gonna be all pissed off because you cut it off.
No, I didn't cut it off. I cut him off. Bob needs glasses, man. First of all, he thinks they're nude people, then they're steer, and now he thinks he's watching people going to a picnic or a fireworks display. Anyway, Bob Bakian reporting there from Mazamani or Mazamani or what, however the hell you say it.
Let me see, Mammy.
That probably that ain't Mammy.
Yeah?
No, it ain't Mammy. Don't ever grab copy away from me. How many times have I told you that?
You can't read it good.
I don't care if I can't read it good. You ain't any better. I'm saying Mazamani and you got Mammy.
Oh, he's doing that on purpose because I was talking to him about the song Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my. Well, I don't know how it goes. But...
Ain't that Mammy?
Ain't that Mammy? No, it's not Mammy.
Well, what's the song that's Mammy?
There ain't no song called Mammy.
Yeah, there is. What's the one that goes Al Jolson? Didn't he do that?
Al Jolson was a virulent, foul, fetid, corrosive, stench-ridden racist. A good man. My grandfather knew him. Wonderful, very kind-hearted man.
But a stench-filled...
But a corrosive, stench-filled racist. Yes.
Al Jolson.
Yes.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, although I don't know what I'm talking about, so...
Yeah, exactly. Bingo. There you go. You don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so anyway, as we are saying, this nude beach was shut down, There's a whole big history about nude beaches, and to answer the question yet again, Bud, no, I've never been nude at a nude beach.
Do you have some sort of, do you think you're better than people, or what is that?
No, I don't think I'm better than people. I just don't want to take my clothes off.
Yeah, probably all the better.
Watch it, man.
Well, what, didn't you tell me a story once where everyone was getting naked in a hot tub except you?
Yeah.
And why didn't you?
Because I didn't want to.
There might have been sex or something. You might have missed out.
I don't give a damn. I don't care. First of all, the people that were getting naked was a friend of mine, his wife, then a friend of theirs, and she was a female. You know, and she was married, and no, I wasn't going to do it, okay?
Well, did you strip to your underwear?
I'm not going to talk about it. No, I had on a bathing suit, and that's what I did. No, I didn't. I'm not going to get, I don't get naked with strangers. I'm sorry. Call me old-fashioned, call me, I don't care. I just don't do it.
Yeah, but I mean, what if the you're at a party or something and everybody goes, let's get nude.
Yeah, if the nude is part of the party.
I don't care, man. I don't care. If the nude is part of the party, no. You know, what is this, man, 1972? No. It's just a feeling that, you know, and I don't know how many people do that anymore anyway. I mean, when I was, you know, younger in the 70s, I remember going up to Big Sur. And I remember seeing people naked at this, like, river. There was, like, a waterfall or something at odd times, you know. And, of course, for me, that was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. This was an actual, real, naked woman. And there were four of us, and we're all, like, 18 years old. And this woman, this chick is standing there, and she was pretty, you know, like, large. And I don't know. It was the first time that I'd ever seen a naked woman in the flesh, and I don't remember anybody holding me back.
Yeah, well, you probably had to.
But then maybe I blacked out. Then there was just a lot of stuff, man, but it's not anything that I do, and I don't, and there you go, and thank you very much, okay?
So you think that getting naked is something vulgar. I've done it. I've done it. What is he looking at? Don't you dare.
Nothing.
I have been naked at a lot of these. The one in Hawaii, the one in Hana. You know the beach?
Well, around the corner?
Yes. It is a famous nude beach, and I have been nude there. Now, the nudes.
Margaret, can we knock it off with the nudes?
Why?
Because I don't believe there's such a thing as a difference between nudes, nudists, the wogs, and people with clothes. I just don't.
You know, I've had about enough of you laughing at me.
Well, good. Goodbye. Margaret's going to the bathroom. You know, her trips to the can are a lot less these days. All right, we're coming back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with our final hour of different garbage. And one of these is, more entertainment news here, that's for sure, and an asteroid heading for Earth. We got to get into that story. Is it going to Russia? Is it heading anywhere near Russia? Can they withstand yet another big, loud explosion in the sky? We'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I mean, we're talking at the top of the show, and it bears repeating, especially since we know what we know about radio, where a new audience turns over every 11 minutes. But at the beginning of the show, and as I say, it does bear repeating, at the beginning of the show, now this, I don't know, I know this will interest anybody who's listening that may be in the business, but, you know, we have our website, and on our website is not only years and years and years and years and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived full radio shows of a radio show like no other. Nobody else has ever done a show like ours. Nobody else will for a long time. It's just all there is to it. And we're proud of that. Now, the world of radio is whatever it is. I'm not really sure, but it's some kind of thing. And a lot of people are getting out of it and getting into podcasting and some people may say, well, it's because why? There's the freedom of... well, it's not only that, but because radio has never really been all that happy with having to pay talent. They'd rather just play records. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, there's a guy that runs a big company in our business who was almost I wouldn't say he was laughed out of the business, but he was laughed at when he made the following statement in February, which is, we don't know how to monetize digital or network streaming. Now, he was almost laughed, not out of the business, but probably laughed to a point of where he might have broken down and started to cry, because there are people that are making money in the digital world. I'm one of them. We make our money by way of subscription. There are people that make their money by way of advertising. But the fact is, there's money to be made there, and it's being made. And there are guys that are, you know, supporting themselves that way. I'm one of them. In other words, the radio world not only doesn't pay enough to support people who work in it, but people are actively getting out to go into digital. And so how can the guy that is the head of one of the largest companies in the business, if not the largest, how can he say something like, we don't know if there's money in digital and in streaming on the internet, with a straight face, unless he's not all that bright? And then, of course, you have to ask yourself, if he's not all that bright, what's he doing running that company? Now, we are trained as Americans, as capitalists at heart, we're trained to believe the following thing. Anybody that rises to the highest level of any corporation, especially a big one, must know what he's doing. If anything has taught us anything about the last 10 years, is that that's not necessarily true. As crazy as it sounds, as impossible as it sounds, it's not necessarily true. We got people, we already know what happened in Detroit. You can make yourself feel better by saying it was all the union's fault. You can, you know, you do whatever you want to do. It's like a big baby bottle. It's like a big pacifier that people suck on. Well, it was the unions did and then Obama did. I got news for you. You can blame Obama if you want. I'm sure the government's got a lot to do with a lot of things, and so do the unions. But you cannot, if you have anything going on upstairs, you cannot deny the following, that the people that you thought, and that I thought, because of their lofty position, were just brain surgeons, those people weren't all that bright at all. They ran their companies into the ground because they just weren't capable. Now, that's the facts, Jack, as Bill Murray said in, what was it?
I think it was Stripes. But I don't...
No, it was Meatballs or something.
No, it wasn't Meatballs. It was Stripes.
But what does this serve you, Phil?
Why is it every time I want to talk about my business on the air, but he says, what does this serve you? What is wrong with people? I'm talking truth here. Not only that, but that guy who writes for Radio Inc., whatever that jackass's name is, that said to me, now, can you imagine a guy who is talking all kinds of smack about... The guy asked me a question, and I gave an honest answer in a radio interview, and then they were looking at me like I must have been crazy. He asked me the freaking question. Anyway, now what happened? Just this past week, that same brain surgeon that said we can't figure out the money end of the digital world, of the internet world, that guy was quoted as saying, we're working overtime, we're burning the midnight oil and trying to figure out how we can make money online. And this was just in the last couple of weeks. I don't know how many years it's been. We have been making money with our website for 7 years. Seven. It's been our... In some instances, our sole source of income. Sole source of income. I mean, I'm paying mortgages. I'm paying employees. I'm paying myself a salary. I'm leasing a car. I'm putting food on the table. I'm taking vacations. I'm flying first class. All that from money I'm making online. And here's a guy that runs the biggest radio company in possibly the world, and he's quoted as saying, we haven't figured out whether there's any money to be made there. Folks, I'm not making this up. This is the honest-to-God truth, and it's a perfect example of what we were saying, which is, just because a guy rises to the top...
You realize that you're indicting the very capitalist system that this country has so put its faith in.
No, I don't think I am.
What are you talking about?
I don't think I am. I think what I'm indicting here, I think what I'm pointing out is the same survival of the fittest, the social Darwinism that we've always believed in, that sort of runs the business world. And that is, once we find out just how inept and stupid some of these people are, we get rid of them. Now, the guy that made that comment, if there's anybody with any brain power there on the board of directors, would say to him, hey, listen, pal, you know, you're the CEO, and, you know, congratulations, but what the hell are you talking about? You're making public statements. People think you sound like a dumbass.
Well, I, I didn't know.
You didn't know what? And that's not the first time for this guy. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, you know, what's up with him, man? Now, I know it all, it's all about the stock price. I get that. But there's something that's true in the world of business. Price and consumer confidence and the loyalty of the customer and so on and so forth. These are, the good news is, these are things that are very hard to rattle. I'm not talking about stock price now. I'm just talking about relative value. These are things that are sometimes very hard to rattle over the long haul. You can have the loyalty and the dedication of a customer, of a consumer, for quite a while before they finally start to smell the, you know, they start to smell the stink in the air. And they, oh, you know what? This isn't exactly the first class. It's kind of like going to that hotel that you always loved, you know, and you remembered having your honeymoon there, and you remembered all of these marvelous times that you had there, and you just don't want to see the fact that it's a crumbling piece of junk, you know.
Yeah, well, I know that's true. That's like the Lemure Hotel that we used to go to there in San Diego. The Lemure was beautiful, and then I don't know what it was, but one day I walked into the lobby, and you were exactly right, Phil, a stink just hit my nose. And I realized it was there was a broken sewage pipe.
Yeah, but you'd smell that before.
No, it had been broken for 5-6 years.
So the lobby?
The lobby had smelled like dung for 6 years, and I didn't want to believe it. I thought it was, I suppose in my own way, I was Bobby Dooley. I thought it was lilacs.
And then one day, you just...
Yeah, just one day, I just took a deep breath and I said, my God, Frank, it's dung. And Frank said to me, oh, no, honey. I said, no, Frank, the place smells just like an outhouse. Let's get out of here. And we turned right around, and no sooner had the boy parked the car than I had my hand up saying, boy, boy. And the boy saw me, and the boy brought it back.
That's a hell of a thing to call a man, you know, a grown man.
No, it was a boy.
A boy.
Yeah, 7-year-old boy. And that was the other thing that I noticed, is that they've got underage boys. Frank said to me, we didn't see it. I said, no, I was blind to all of this.
Wait a minute. The place smelled like dung, and they had 7-year-old boys parking the car.
Yeah, she didn't see, was blind to it.
Yeah, she was. She wanted to believe it was a man.
What
are you telling me?
Are you listening to me, or are you just staring off into space? I said...
You're telling me a 7-year-old boy?
Yes. Before, when I would say boy, I thought I was talking to a 25-year-old man, and I just liked the idea of saying, you, boy, come here.
Now, I'm going to ask the magic question.
No, were they black?
No, they were not black. It was just men. Any kind of man.
Be a black man?
I don't know. Maybe one of them was, but they're also white.
You just like saying, hey, boy.
Hey, boy.
And then one day you realized you were...
He was 7. So I just... Well, it was, for instance, I'll give an example. I used to think they had... Robert, this goes to your question. I used to think they had the most charming jockey little statue. You know those jockeys that you'd see in the front of a lot of California homes? The black jockey.
Yes.
All right. I used to think they had one, and then one day I realized that was a real man. He was a real black jockey standing there, and apparently he was checking in, but I don't know.
How many weeks in a... What, I don't understand that at all.
I'm telling you, when Frank and I would show up at the hotel, I saw a black jockey that I thought was a statue.
And then you realized it was a real black jockey.
You checking in the same time you were?
I guess so, yes.
What guy is going to show up dressed as a jockey?
Well, I don't know, Phil. Maybe it's a sex freak thing. God! I don't know. You're asking me questions I don't know.
So you saw a guy, a black guy...
Yes, a black man dressed in a jockey suit.
Checking in.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that because he was a jockey, he was...
He was about 4'10". I don't know what you think is so funny. I'm telling you, it was traumatic for me.
You're telling me that a 4'10" jockey...
Oh, Bud, why don't you get a clue?
Now, wait a minute. A 4'10" black man dressed in a jockey suit. Was he a jockey?
I asked him. I said, do you ride anywhere near here? And he looked at me like I was a freak on ice.
Well, the question, do you ride anywhere near here?
He looked at me like I was a freak on skates.
So you didn't ask him, are you a jockey?
No, I thought the question, do you ride, was enough.
You stood next to a jockey one day, Mr. Henry, while you were telling us. What'd you say?
I was next to Chris McCarron at a baggage claim at LAX. Chris McCarron, if you don't know, one of the great all-time jockeys. I recognized him because I grew up around horse racing, and I saw him there, and it was just so happens everybody was in the same office looking for their bag. We'd flown in from Miami, and our bags were lost. And it was Chris McCarron. What do you mean, what did I say?
Well, did you say, like, hey, man, where do you ride?
No, because I knew who it was. I knew who it was. I didn't go, hey, where do you ride?
How'd you know it was him?
Because it was him, man. What do you mean, how did I know it was him?
How tall was he?
He was short.
Well, was he 4'1"? What?
I don't know. Chris McCarron's about 4'10", 4'11", maybe 5'. That's the weirdest story I've ever heard. So you finally figured out that the place was just a toilet bowl. Well, such is the case. Sometimes you, and the same thing goes with radio. And the same thing I think advertisers are experiencing or may begin to experience the exact same thing somewhere down the road. A lot of them already have. A lot of them are tired of buying into bullcrap. Yeah, we can't sell them the same. I'm telling you, man, radio is saying right now that we have finagled our last advertiser. We can't fool them. We can't con them anymore with this garbage. So what do? They give up on talk radio. They don't hire anybody with talent. They just give up on it. All right, we'll be right back. Talk more about this and more thing right here at the Phil Henry Show. I'm sorry we had kind of a little bit of a hurry. The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, that was last night. Happy birthday, by the way. This is a Phil Henry Show fact. Happy birthday was copyrighted by Time Warner, and they stringently enforce their copyright because they are humorless, soulless C-words. World famous, I'm kidding. World famous Phil Henry Show. About
truth
the C-word.
Is our bitch.
Soulless bastard.
The Phil Henry Show.
Go soul!
Welcome
back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's the only way to really enjoy the full reality show wrapped around a radio show that are the Phil Henry Show. If you think things are bizarre here on the air, behind the scenes, all of the makeup, all of the theatrics are stripped away, and what you see is the bare, naked, raw mental condition of a man who is up against it. Yes, a man who has been through the ringer, through the radio ringer, and is now feeling the pressure. Will he crack? Will he finally run into the street, shouting, screaming? No danger to others, but not even a danger to himself, but just sort of a danger to the general peace.
Oh, so you're talking about now running out into the street and acting like an ass. Who doesn't do that on a Friday night?
Everyone in this neighborhood. I just want to be a part of the party now.
Yeah, you gotta get out and have some fun.
Exactly. No more staying indoors on a Friday night. I want to join my neighbors in the hootenanny that is our neighborhood. But anyway, if you have a backstage pass, you can join us here for our daily videocast, daily podcast, all the archive material, our news feed, and there are some exciting things on the way. Big things on the horizon, including something for our BSPs, our loyal backstage pass viewers and listeners. As you know, we've upgraded the media on our site so that those of you who follow our videocasts live, you can now follow it on your iPhone, you can follow it on various droids, you can watch it on your iPad, as well as get it on demand. All of our media is now available iOS, that is, to Apple as well as other platforms. So, and other devices. So, these are just these little things that we continue to enhance on our website. And the next thing is that we're going to have high definition, a new level of high definition video on philhenryshow.com. So watch us mobile, watch us at home, listen to our archives, and enjoy, really, we think, the greatest radio website in the history of the business, just in terms of material. Because we believe in our show, and we're not embarrassed by our show. We're very proud of it. Most radio shows, I think, you swear to God, they're embarrassed by it.
Why do you say that?
Because they don't have any. There's nothing. I mean, you go there and there's like 2 minute clips from the show.
Well, here's something we did today.
And that's it. And maybe they've got the whole show, but they don't have anywhere near the extensive archives we have. We've gotten we've got everything that we could possibly get our hands on. We've got now new media from new shows from our time at WCCO in Minneapolis. We got that in the archives. And we're going to start loading in our old WIOD shows. Oh, yeah. Whoa, yeah, baby. That's from Miami. And we may get a hold of those early KFI shows. As a matter of fact, as I've said, and you know, now I got to make sure, I got to try and call. I got people that recorded the early days of the show, but I don't want to piss them off.
Well, Phil, you had an opportunity to get those shows, and then you didn't call when you said you would, and now if you call them up and say goodbye by chance.
Yeah, they're liable to hang up on you.
Well, if they do, they do, but I got to give it a shot. I've got to give it a shot. Man just got to know his limitations. What movie?
Well, it's Clint Eastwood, and whichever one it was, it sucked.
Oh, is that right? It sucked, huh?
Yes, it wasn't Dirty Harry.
No, it wasn't Dirty Harry. Bud?
But, go ahead, say it again.
A man's just got to know his limitations.
Was it black?
What do you mean, was he black?
Was Dirty Harry black?
No, he wasn't black.
Well, you said it like you go, a man just got to know his limitations, instead of just like...
Yeah, it sounded like Rochester.
What do you mean, I said it like Rochester? I said...
Well, it sounded like, yeah, man's got to know.
A man's just got to know his limitations. What movie?
Dirty Harry.
I said no, it's not Dirty Harry.
But it is Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
Well, what other movie is there?
Are you kidding me, man?
Well, it's not like Sands of Iwo Jima.
What's Sands of Iwo Jima?
He's saying what was the Iwo Jima?
Iwo Jima.
You mean Letters from Iwo Jima?
What?
What's that?
That's an Eastwood... Are you crazy? You didn't know that one? That was one of the better movies that he made.
Say it again.
But if... I'm not going to say it again. I'll say it for the audience. A man's got to know his limitations. What's the name of the Clint Eastwood movie?
Unforgiven?
No, not Unforgiven. It's not a Western.
It's a cop show.
It's a cop show, yeah.
Streets of San Francisco?
Boy, you guys are really thick.
Phil... We're not following Clint Eastwood's career like some star-struck girl like you do.
Oh, is that what I do?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, no. Ooh.
I'm going to belt you, man. You don't know the name of the movie, huh?
Yeah, I do. Gimme Shelter.
All right, you guys suck. It's Magnum Force.
That's the name of the movie?
Yes, Magnum Force.
And that was a Dirty Harry movie?
Yeah, it was a Dirty Harry movie. It was one of the, I don't know how many Dirty Harry movies there were.
How many Dirty Harry movies was there?
I don't know, man.
We'll name them off.
Dirty Harry, Magnum Force, The Enforcer, I think Sudden Impact. No, Sudden Impact was not. Yeah, no.
Well, which was it, Phil? Was Sudden Impact?
I don't think Sudden Impact, because he was in New Orleans. Dirty Harry wasn't in New Orleans.
What about The Gauntlet?
Where are you reading that?
Right here on IMDb.
IMDb. No, The Gauntlet was another cop. That was Phoenix.
Well, how many cops did he play?
He played Dirty Harry. Anyway, it was from Magnum Force.
Not familiar.
We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Large asteroid heading toward Earth, if anybody cares. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dirty Harry. I said no, it ain't Dirty Harry. God, Magnum Force.
Well, that was a Dirty Harry movie.
Yes, it was a Dirty Harry movie.
You said it wasn't.
It ain't the Dirty Harry movie. Are you guys...
Phil Hendry.
Over your head.
No, I wouldn't. I'm talking to Margaret and the crew here. Don't you think it's about time we now get back to having a good old-fashioned radio show, let's say? that makes fun of the conspiracy theories and the asteroid theories and all of these things. In other words, we've had, and I believe that there is another radio show out there where they're, you know, talking about these things seriously.
You know, we just could have a visitation from outer space, and they're giving credibility to the idea that, you know, there would be a large asteroid that's going to destroy the Earth. And there's credibility being given to conspiracy theories of every stripe, and there's credibility being given to all kinds of things. Don't you think it's time we get back to having a show that just makes fun of all this stuff?
Well, what are you saying?
Exactly what I just said, that we have guys, like I would host the show and a guy would come on, oh, you believe in what?
I believe that there are liquid beings that are, well, guess what? That's a load of horse dung and you can't prove it.
Well, they wouldn't come on the show, Phil.
Yeah, who'd want to come on a show and get made fun of?
Anybody that wants to prove their point. What's the matter? Are they chicken? In other words, you're telling me that some cat that believes in UFOs, he doesn't want to have a little debate?
Well, Mr. Allen, you got to understand, most of those people they all, like, agree with each other.
Oh, they all agree with each other. Well, it's time that somebody started challenging them again. I mean, we've given these people a soft ride long enough. You know, and I think it would be very entertaining. So, in other words, you're telling me that for me to challenge people that believe in UFOs and people, I'll never forget the time that there was a guy, now get a load of this. I couldn't believe it, and this must have been something I felt. I chalked it up to the fact that I was in the South, and it's a significant Bible Belt area, and I had misread at least the talk show callers, because what happened was, when I was in Atlanta, I had a guy come on the show. This guy was predicting. Now, I was in Atlanta. This was the spring of 92, and this guy was predicting that the world would be coming to a complete and utter end in 1 year, the spring of 93. And he was basing this on his belief that disease, this guy was, man, he believed every kind of, if you could imagine every kind of bad thing happening, this guy predicted it.
Like what?
Like disease, like mostly AIDS, but, you know, we were all going to drop dead and it was just horrible. You know, just, it was going to be horrible. So I had him on a show and I was saying all kinds of things like, you know, if we are going to die, then why don't you just go ahead and give me all your stuff, you know, give me, your, you know, will me your stuff, you know, and stuff like that. And just, you know, I didn't buy it. And people were calling in getting mad at me.
Well, what were they getting mad at you for?
They were getting mad at me that I was mocking a guy that was talking about the end of the world. And he was saying that the world was coming to an end in the most alarming ways, and he was saying it in ways that, you know, it would scare anybody, and I felt I was being responsible in mocking this guy because it was all just this scary stuff. Now, I realized that I probably was taking a lot of heat from the audience because there are a lot of fundamentalist Christians in that area in Atlanta, even though, you know, Atlanta's metropolitan area in the outlying areas.
Oh, you're saying in the outlying areas the natives were restless.
Yeah, you're talking about people being natives.
No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, what are you saying about them?
I'm saying that, yeah, in the outlying areas, there's kind of some, you know, cuckoo people, man.
Well, what do you mean outlying areas, Phil? You sound as if you're talking about the bush.
Let me tell you something. I didn't say this. People who live in Atlanta say this, that when you leave Atlanta, it's surrounded by Bubba Land. That's what they call it. Bubba Land. So,
what's that?
Just a bunch of, you know, dummies. So, make a long story short, these people were getting upset with me because I wasn't giving credibility to this guy about the world coming to an end. I couldn't believe my ears. And then it happened on this radio show about, oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, when we had a character talking about, it was Steve Bozell talking about the KY jelly, and he had to send it all back because the world hadn't come to an end. And instead of being made fun of by the people that called in, they were sympathizing with him. And I realized that what the people that were calling in were the very same people that were stocking up for Y2K and were expecting the world or the computers to crash and for there to be nothing but anarchy. And basically, they were all commiserating because none of that stuff had happened.
So,
Yeah. In other words, those people have found a refuge on radio, and I'm just saying it's about time now we start messing with them.
Yeah, but I don't think that's kind.
What do you mean you don't think it's kind?
Well, a lot of those people, Mr. Ernie, they think the world coming to an end, you know, and they're scared.
Well, that's just too bad. I think it's time we start treating people like adults, okay? You know, if they want to run around claiming that this, that, and something else is going to happen, like the world's coming to an end, this and that, it's time that they start being challenged a little bit instead of, you know, pretending like they're making sense, because they don't make any sense to me. I don't believe it.
You don't believe that the world could come to an end by virtue of an asteroid crashing into it?
No, I do not. No. I'll tell you why I don't believe it. I don't think there's any evidence that the world has come to an end by virtue of an asteroid crashing into it.
What?
That's blasphemy! What about the dinosaur?
Yeah, what about that?
Well, guess what, man? We are now finding from the archaeological evidence that the dinosaurs, maybe they weren't killed by an asteroid. Now there's theories, one of them being put forth in Houston by that one, you know, that one archaeologist they have on TV all the time with a cowboy hat?
I don't know who you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
There's a guy with a cowboy hat that's an... Anyway, I've seen and I've heard some people now saying the dinosaurs weren't killed by an asteroid. They were killed by disease, that the dinosaurs infected each other with disease.
What? What do you mean infected each other?
Did they have sex with each other or something?
Hey, Bud, don't try to be funny, okay?
I'm not trying to be funny.
Bud wonders, was it a venereal disease?
No, it wasn't venereal disease. There were some immune systems that were compromised by other animals entering into their biospace, if you will, because of the receding of the waters. These land bridges reappeared, and so animal herds began to cross between the continents again. And as they crossed between the continents, animals and animal species that had been isolated from each other were now suddenly in contact, and much the same as humans in the early era of exploration infected each other with disease, animals did the same thing. And why do they say this? Because they find dinosaur bones in the strata, in the dust, in the crust, after the period, this period of dark carbon, which they thought was the crashing of this asteroid, they find that these animals were dying after that. In other words, or was it before?
Yeah, see, you got that wrong.
Oh, great. You got it wrong, Phil.
No, it was before. Whatever it was anyway, that was, okay, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, you butchered it up.
Well, maybe I did, but whatever it was, talk to the guy down in Houston. All right, here is the story. NASA Chief Charles Bolden has advice on how to handle a large asteroid heading toward New York City. Pray!
He didn't.
Yes, he did. That's about all the United States, or anyone for that matter, could do at this point about unknown asteroids and meteors that may be on a collision course with Earth, maybe. That's what Bolden told lawmakers at a U.S. House of Representatives Science Committee on Tuesday. He said if there's an asteroid heading toward Earth, pray. An asteroid estimated to have been about 55 feet in diameter exploded on February 15th over Russia, generating shockwaves that shattered windows and damaged buildings. 1,500 people were injured. Later that day, a larger unrelated asteroid discovered last year passed about 17,200 miles from Earth, closer than the network of television and weather satellites that ring the planet. So that was the one they had predicted. The events serve as evidence that we live in an active solar system with potentially hazardous objects passing through our neighborhood with surprising frequency, said Representative Eddie Bernice.
Is that a woman or a man?
I don't know. The first name is a guy. The middle name is a woman.
Might be a woman, or might be a man-woman.
Is it he-she?
No, it ain't a he-she. It's probably a female. A Texas Democrat. We were fortunate that the events of last month were simply an interesting coincidence rather than a catastrophe, said Committee Chairman Lamar Smith, a Texas Republican who called the hearing to learn what is being done and how much money is needed to better protect the planet. NASA has found, look at this, a Republican wants to start spending money on protecting the planet Earth from asteroids. Are you putting me on?
Well, you know those Republicans. What they do is, because there are some rather practical and pragmatic Republicans, the extreme ones say, oh, well, he's not really a Republican. He is a center-left Republican, you know.
Well, I do know that the conservatives have definitely splintered a bit. You know, there's the Tea Party ones, there's I don't know. In any event, NASA has found and is tracking about 95% of the largest objects flying near Earth. That would be those that are 0.62 miles or larger in diameter. which we figured out was about 4,000 feet in diameter or larger. So a 55-foot diameter asteroid, you know, that's...
Man, you might as well try to pick up a flea. A flea.
Yeah, you might pick up a flea coming in from outer space.
What are you laughing at?
A flea coming in from outer space.
Well, how would you do that?
How would you do what?
How'd you pick up a flea from outer space? I mean, I know there isn't one. I know that.
You know there isn't a flea from outer space.
Yeah, but how do you track it?
Why would you want to track a flea from outer space?
Because this, even though it's small, coming in at that speed be like a, it could be like a bullet.
Well, what makes you think a flea is coming in from outer space?
I don't know.
Look, you guys had spent less time worrying about weird crap like that, okay? A flea coming in from outer space, you guys worry about. Why don't you just think about asteroids, okay, and not a flea?
The size of a flea would make it like a bullet. It could go, it would take your head off.
Yeah, a flea travel. Think about a hypersonic flea.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to think about a hypersonic flea, so forget it.
You don't think it'd blow your head up?
Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I don't care. If my head blows up someday, good luck proving that a hypersonic flea did it. An asteroid that size, a kilometer or bigger, could plausibly end civilization, White House science advisor John Holdren told legislators at the same hearing. But only about 10% of an estimated 10,000 potential city-killer asteroids, those with a diameter of about 165 feet, have been found. Why did they say that that could end civilization when even the asteroid that hit Earth that they thought killed the dinosaurs and didn't, even that didn't end all life on Earth? And then you take a look at the asteroid that hit Russia at the turn of the 20th century, the famous one we talk about, that didn't end civilization.
Well, that's a good point, but did that, was that an asteroid?
I don't know. It might have been. I don't know what it was. I think maybe now they think it was a comet or something. But it was an enormous explosion, and it was heard for miles and miles and miles. I mean, we've had volcanoes erupt. You know, I'm not buying it, man. From the information we have, we don't know of an asteroid that will threaten the population of the United States, Bolden said. But if it's coming in 3 weeks, pray.
What an ass.
That guy's got to be fired.
Oh, relax. I think he's basically saying what's true. He says, you guys are asking me a question. You're asking me if an asteroid's coming in 3 weeks, what's going to happen? Pray. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, you mean that there's no way that we could defend the planet
Earth? No, there's no way to defend the planet Earth. What are you asking me? You're a Republican. I thought you were supposed to be about not spending money.
Well, but we're talking about the Earth.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got no way of defending the planet Earth, okay? Lamar, you ready? You good? Okay, go home, kiss your wife and kids, because your ass is dead if an asteroid lands in 3 weeks.
Why, how dare you say that? You're the NASA chief.
That's right. I'm the NASA chief. That doesn't mean that I'm Superman. It doesn't mean I'm Batman. And it doesn't mean I'm the Green Goblin. I'm just some jackball that you gave the job to.
You're fired. Get somebody in there that can protect the planet Earth.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see whether, Lex Luthor or any of those guys are available.
Well, why do you think it takes a superhuman person? Who's going to be able to do...
The question, it's a good question. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? You know, my feeling is, if you know that an asteroid's coming in, you remember we had that Star Wars thing? Now, that would have been a fantastic thing to use.
Yeah, that's right, man. What happened to Star Wars?
Oh, well, I mean, we had to, dismantle that, I thought, because it was too weird. All right, we'll take a break here.
Yeah, you can't take a break now. You're talking about blowing up a star, blowing up an asteroid.
Too bad. You're going to have to start thinking about it on your own. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Nothing I say makes sense to you. Here's what I was saying to these guys. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Join us online, philhendryshow.com, with a backstage pass and watch as I blow Bud's mind with the following dissertation.
Now, is this going to take a while?
I'm going to answer the question you guys were answering, or you guys are asking.
Answering?
Asking.
Well, please get your words right, because when you start to slur...
Don't worry about it, Margaret. You guys were asking why were there not asteroids blowing up the Earth just like in the movies, okay? Now, let me ask you guys something. just like I said to Bud here, and he didn't get it. For millions of years, conditions have been optimum on the planet Earth to the point where we've gone from being knuckle-dragging apes walking around with a stick to sitting behind a microphone with glasses on and a video cast going out all over God's creation. How did that happen? Well, evolution. But there was also one other thing. Evolution was allowed to take place. Life was allowed to develop. Why? Because conditions were right for it.
And you're saying part of those conditions, I don't understand.
I'm saying part of the conditions that were that existed so that life could evolve was that the Earth was not hit by asteroids.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, hold on. I think that for life to develop on Earth far beyond animal life to the point where human beings developed, in these sentient, intelligent beings that have the ability to affect the environment, to create and to change the world around them, that's a lot of evolution, and that's a lot of time without asteroids hitting the Earth. And I'm thinking that conditions have changed, at least in the immediate universe around us, the solar system, that objects that at one time bombarded our planet or objects that at one time were sailing through space and sailing through our solar system, those objects are not out there with the same frequency. There could have been a change in within our galaxy that those meteors that we're talking about aren't as large, or maybe they are no longer sailing through our solar system as much as they used to. You know?
Well, what are you talking about? Are you saying that all of a sudden the asteroids and meteors said, oh, we don't want to go to Earth? What?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that conditions change. Just like weather conditions change, just like people evolve, just like animals evolve, the universe is evolving. The solar system is evolving. The galaxy is evolving. Things are changing. Conditions are changing. And maybe these gigantic asteroids that we saw evidence of thousands, millions of years ago, maybe these things are not traveling out there with the same frequency as they did. Maybe conditions in space have changed. Conditions in the universe have changed. How else do you explain that millions and millions and millions of years have passed and life on this planet has not only evolved, it's evolved to the level that it has? That's a lot of years in sort of a very safe condition for the Earth to grow as it has and change as it has, and for life on Earth to evolve as it has. There's something in the universe that allowed that.
Yes, it's called God.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. It's called God, all right?
Well, Mr. Henry, you can't just, you know...
Are you mocking God?
No, I'm not mocking God. I'm saying, yes, fine, great, it's God. But the fact is... All right, let's say it is God.
No, I'm saying it is God. And I'm a liberal. And I ordinarily don't believe in God. But when it comes to you and what you're saying right now...
Yeah, that's... You've got to believe in God.
Oh, you ordinarily don't believe in God, but right now you do.
Because what you're saying, Phil, is so fantastical...
No, it's not. It's provable. It's happened. Has any asteroid been hitting around here lately? Do you see buildings and people and cars? And do you see a world that is vastly different than it was when the dinosaurs were here? Yes. There's got to be a reason for that. There's no asteroids hitting. And I'm thinking that conditions have changed. You know?
And you don't think God had anything to do with it? I find that to be so...
Oh, will you knock it off?
What?
Don't fake it like that.
I'm not faking it.
Yeah, you are. You're going to...
I'll kick your...
Hey! I thought you were just talking about God.
I am, and I think God right now is vomiting. God's vomiting into whatever he vomits into.
And why is that?
Because of you mocking his ability to protect the Earth, and you're saying, well, I don't know what you're saying.
You're making God throw up.
Yeah, I'm saying, I don't believe God throws up, but if God threw up, he'd be throwing up now.
He'd be throwing up in whatever receptacle he uses.
You know something? You may believe in God, but I think you're going to hell.
How dare you?
Well, guess what? I think you are, because of all the stuff you've been saying about him throwing up.
It's not against the law to say God throws up.
Yeah, whatever, man. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And for more fun and frivolity, go to philhendryshow.com for the backstage pass. Let's go, man. Get with it, baby, because, you know, the Earth may end soon, and you won't have a backstage pass to watch us laugh at it? Come on, man. Let that be a lesson to you. Bye.
Phil Hendry.
You'll be sorry.